It was like, you have the moments and you have the molasses and the pain and the suffering and the leaving you. But then you sit back and you go, did I imagine that? No, I didn't imagine that. It was so real. It was so real. But then for the medical doctor, for me to say, doctor, I'm on no medicine, and him say, that's okay. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the show. On behalf of Disciple of City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Friends, you can check out our website at thetoddcast.ca. There's a direct link to every episode. You can see our staff and some behind-the-scenes footage in there. And don't forget to follow along on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell. We're on 18 different streaming platforms. Quick links are available in the bio. Guys, Disciple of City exists to equip Christians with simple tools on how to share their faith and become disciple-making disciples. You can email us at information@discipleofcity.ca, and our website is discipleofcity.ca, where you can find out some more information there. We have a free video series that you can watch and share with friends on how to do all those things. You can start a small group and utilizing this video series. And of course, the Toddcast is on socials, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. And friends, to hear exciting stories like the one we're about to hear today, don't forget to download the United Hive app. You can share your testimonies and your stories of how you shared the gospel with somebody, prayed with somebody, baptized, all that good stuff on the United Hive. You can download that everywhere. Now, friends, my guest today, this is coming at the tail end of our Behold conference back in November of 2025. And my guest today actually had a miracle happen at that conference, and we are going to hear that raw testimony. Please welcome, and I forgot to ask you your pronunciation of your last name, but Jennifer Shattit?
Shatt.
Jennifer Shatt.
Just Jennifer. Just Jen.
How are you?
I'm great.
Oh, man.
I am very great.
I saw that, and I so meant to ask you the pronunciation. I always want to make sure I get people's names pronounced correctly, and we just got right into talking about your story
we
and
did.
Everything.
We did, and that's good.
So good. So, yeah, thank you very much, Jennifer, for coming on the show. It's great to see you again.
Well, it's really good to see you. It's been a few weeks since we've seen each other, and every day I'm still in awe a lot.
That's awesome. And so just for some background, friends, Jennifer was invited to our conference by a longtime friend. You've been friends with, it was Ray that invited you, correct?
Yeah. Actually, her husband, Greg.
Yeah.
I've known Greg for, I guess, about 3 years, but I've known him kind of offhand. He worked a little bit off and on for my husband's contracting company. And Ray and Greg have been friends with my husband's family for quite some time.
Awesome. So they invited you to this conference. And like I said in the intro, this is just a small little bit of a miracle that happened. So let's get to that. But first, Jennifer, can you, how did you grow up, Jen? Like, as far as
sure.
church goes and whatnot, what was that like for you?
So I grew up actually in a very strict Catholic family. My father was an educator in the Catholic school board, curriculum writer, and my parents were very, very involved in the Catholic Church. I did all the Catholic things, so baptism, communion, confirmation. I am in my second marriage. My first marriage was in the Catholic Church. John and I, my husband, have been married 7 years now. But after my son was born, I promised that he would be confirmed through my father. I followed all the rules. And then after that, even before that, I never prayed. I never prayed. I did the religious things. So I've never read the Bible, never prayed, did what I was supposed to do, showed up every Sunday with my mom and dad, like I was supposed to, sat in the same pew every week, fiddled. I was a fiddler. I was always busy. But I never took that leap. I never opened the Bible. I never listened to the readings. I never did anything. And as soon as Nicholas was confirmed, I was divorced by that point. We did the confirmation and then that's it. Like that was it. But I've never prayed. I've never bowed my head and listened. I've never let Jesus into my life. I've never believed and it can happen. I did all the things, but I never believed.
So that's what I was going to ask you. Did you believe, but you just sort of went through the motions, or were you kind of indifferent to it?
No, I was indifferent. I was absolutely 100% indifferent. We said grace growing up because that's what we were supposed to do. But I never felt a presence. I never felt a need to read the Bible. In fact, the day of the Behold conference, I drove past the Selwyn Outreach Center because I wasn't going in because all the Jesus signs. I never, ever believed. If that can happen, if you can do all the things but not believe.
Yeah.
But it did to me.
So when you, after your son got confirmed or you went through that confirmation ceremony, one of the sacraments there, I grew up in the Catholicism as well, so I'm familiar with those mm-hmm. sacraments. That's about grade 7, grade 8, is it not? Something.
Yeah,
like that.
That was grade 7, I believe it was. Maybe it was grade 8. And even up until that point, Nicholas and I were not attending church. Like, it's not like, to be honest, he attended confirmation classes, but we weren't attending regularly. You were supposed to.
Right.
And I was doing everything I could to get around it just to get that done. And I look back, I sound terrible saying that, but I did it out of obligation, not out of faith.
Right, right.
And even the event, I remember the event vaguely, and I remember going, oh, let's just get this over and done with, and we'll have a cake afterwards, and it's all good.
Yeah.
And my son never prayed. We never, you know, let's have a moment here.
Yeah.
Never.
So, and just for some context and for the record, friends watching and listening, this is totally not an attack or whatever on Catholicism or the Catholic Church.
Not at all.
Yeah, there's a relatability with you and me. This is just Jennifer's story. But I personally know several people, devout Catholics who pray and encounter God's presence and all of that. So this is just your story, but Jennifer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against like my family or anything like that. It's just, I never felt it. I just didn't. And my life went on. And I never went back into a church. Like I never went back in. I didn't have the need. I didn't have the need and didn't have a Bible. You know, prayer was not important to me,
yeah.
Honestly. And if it was just because I was at a family event, we had to go through the things.
Yeah. So after when you left the church and, you know, what was your life like with your son? When did you meet your husband? And, you know.
Yeah. So my life with my son. So Nicholas and I went out on our own. I guess Nicholas was about 8 or 9 and we went out on our own. My first marriage was very, very difficult. We were married 15 years, but the last 7 were very, very difficult. We went out on our own and it was just Mom and Nicholas against the world. And it was the two musketeers. We traveled, well, not traveled, but we moved around Ontario a lot due to my career. So I was in radio broadcasting. I was a radio broadcaster and a news director for almost 15 years. And then from there, because radio news starts at 2 in the morning, My boy asked me, Mommy, is there a job that you can do where you're not leaving me so I have to get ready for school on my own? And I went into automotive financing, which is another whole swing of the pendulum. And I went into automotive financing, and then I left automotive financing because I was bored. Asked my dealer principal to take a break. And he said, for sure, you go out and see if there's something else. I was solid in my job. I went to a resort, and the lead contractor was the man I'm now married to. And what happened was we hadn't even talked about anything. We just kind of met and we started dating and hadn't, like, we didn't move in together, nothing. And 4 months later, he proposed, and I said yes.
Wow.
And we had never talked about moving in. We had never talked about marriage. I had never talked to anyone about marriage. That wasn't going to happen again. Like, this was not, it was not. And then he proposed. I said yes. And then that was in November. The following August, we were married. And I moved to Havelock, got married August the 10th, and I didn't move to Havelock till August 27th. So, and then Nicholas went off to college. And John and I, we have had 7 years of, you know, a lot of ups and downs. He's a contractor. There was COVID. He has a 30-year-old son, so I have a beautiful stepson as well. The two boys went to college and university during COVID. My son has struggled in many ways, shape, or form during COVID and post-graduation, just, you know, with lots of things and living on his own. And, you know, it's, I then, I guess 3 years ago now, I got very, very sick. And I was working on a resort and I got bit by a tick. And it was long, it wasn't diagnosed for a few weeks. So it got into my system. They did all the things. They did the antibiotics orally. Then they did the antibiotics through IV. And it didn't go away. And it got a lot worse. And then I had what's deciphered as a stroke-like episode on a meaning. I lost my ability to speak. I lost my ability to walk. I lost my ability to function. My husband and I were working at a resort. I was the general manager. He was the operations manager. It happened in the apartment upstairs of the office. My husband found me there on the floor, carried me out. It was remote, drove me to the nearest provincial park where the ambulance picked us up. And from that moment on, the disease didn't let up. It didn't let up. The pain never went away. The physical pain. So I'm the fingers, the joints, the knees. There was days I couldn't walk. There was days where I couldn't put words together. I could speak again. The stuttering stopped after a few months, but trying to digest the mass amount of information, because as stubborn as I was, I didn't stop. I went on, and I went on to very big roles. I went on to a general manager of a wing of a luxury hotel in Canada, in Muskoka. And I lived on my own so that John and I could make ends meet because COVID decimated our business. And I went on to do that. And then the anxiety and the brain fog and the pain just annihilated me from that role. Even this past summer, I found another great role, and pain and everything just decimated that for me. Before, behold, I was up in Tobermory 6 weeks alone trying to land a general manager job. Between the pain, the anxiety, the brain fog, the functionality of my being was not working. And for the first time in my life, I didn't land a job. And I came home, 2 weeks before, behold, not even, yeah, 10 days before, behold, my life had bottomed out. No career, body's getting worse. Marriage wasn't doing so well because financially I was out of a job again. And, you know, John is a 62-year-old carpenter who is feeling 62-year-old carpenter. He's been contracting his whole life. His body's sore.
Were you guys living separately because you're just, he was working in one place and you had a job somewhere else?
And okay. I was up in Tobermory with the hope I would land the job, and the job was seasonal, so I'd be able to come home for 6 months and then go up there. But our marriage was at strife. Like, there is no denying our marriage was at strife at that time, because all the pain in my body, the physical pain, was so consuming. It changes your personality. It completely changes your personality. I had no hope. If there is any word that defines that corner of my life, it's no hope. No hope. My son, who had tried to hurt himself the year before, had been trying to get his life going again. And that was weighing on me as well. And he was living alone in Toronto. And everything was coming at me. Full guns a-blazing is the best way to put it. Just left for the right, to the left. And nothing was giving. Nothing was giving. Everything was cowering down on me. And when I came home from Tobermory, I was at the lowest of the low. The lowest of the low. I've never been so emotionally low, physically low, spiritually. Don't even talk, because back, like, if you come to me 21 days ago and said, spiritually, you're low, I would have went, yeah, whatever. Like, let's not, come on. Like, I got way more important things than that part. Like, it's not, when I went into the Behold concert, and that is my biggest, if I had a one-on-one face-to-face for 30 seconds with Jesus right now, my biggest question to him would be, why? Why me? Because everyone there is struggling and praying and have been praying for years. And I'm a 52-year-old woman with walls bigger than the CN Tower built around me in cement. And I sat there with my arms crossed in the back corner, looking at everyone going, this is nuts. Like, I wasn't there to be saved. I was not there. I was there because I said, yeah, okay, I'll show up.
So, and what's interesting, what's interesting as you shared your testimony at this conference is the fact that you had said that they, Ray and her husband or some friends had been inviting you to things for years.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah, no. And then I was the master of, I had an excuse, you know, I was the master of it. It was always like, nah, not today. Oh, look at, my hair's not feeling so great today. My hair doesn't do it. I'm not going. Oh, got groceries to do. Like, I was the master of excuses. And I didn't, you know, it's not like, yeah, I was unemployed that day and all of that thing. But honestly, I drove past the place. I pulled into a parking lot, had the phone in my hand, ready to text Greg another excuse. Thought I was going to throw up because all of the Jesus signs, and went, no, why not? I might as well go in. And I parked in the furthest corner. If there was a security camera on that parking lot, you'd see my little car in the far, far corner, away from everyone else. And I walked in, and I sat in the back and went, what am I doing here?
What was different that day? Like, what made you decide, of all the times of excuses and stuff, why that day did you decide to go? Do you know?
I cannot answer that.
I can't answer that.
Like, I think I had a Google Meet. I had a Google Meet with Jesus, and I pressed accept at some point. At some point, I pressed accept, because there is no other explanation than Jesus had an appointment with me. My Google calendar just wasn't showing it. And I keep going back to that because that's what it felt like. Once the day progressed and I sat at home I thought it was like I had a Google appointment. I had a Google appointment. And you know, when you pressed accept and then it shows up on all your drives, I just hadn't pressed accept. He knew it was coming. He knew it was on its way because so much of that day and since that day, there is no physical explanation other than Jesus has shown up in my life. And decided, Jennifer, enough. Like, enough. I was explaining to you before we started recording that Jesus shows up in many different ways to many different people. For me, he seems to be showing up in two ways. He's so excited, like, holy smokes, like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's like moonbeams are shooting out my fingers and toes. But he's also the Jesus, because I am new to reading the Bible. And there is one point I just open the Bible every day randomly and read because that's the way it's helping me. I am not, I'm letting right now him decide. And there was a day where I opened it and it was the part where Jesus was in the marketplace and he overturned tables and he said, enough. Like, and that's how he shows up to me sometimes. Enough, Jennifer. Enough, Jen. Come on. Like, what else do you want? I've showed up. No. And if I showed up this late, you're going to do something with this. You're not going to let this go. And that is the other pull I feel.
Right.
It's a distinct pull to do something with what he has done for me, whether it be my past resume, whether it be my future resume, whatever, there is a distinct pull that at 52, for some reason, he decided Jennifer was going to walk out of that building with no pain, no mental haze, no nothing. And
So just going back, you're sitting there at the back. This is weird. These people are weird. And then just what happened? Just
so
the f
Dahlia, who was with Dave Harvey, I believe,
Yes.
a lovely lady came over to me, and I was sitting alone, and she came over to me, and the first thing I said to her was, "Oh, I love your name." Like I'm a gardening geek, so we started talking about gardening. I'm like, "I love Dahlias." We started talking. I'm like, "Oh, you're so pretty," you know, and we're talking about that. And she sat down next to me, and she said, "Do you mind if I pray on you?" Okay, that's a whole new term to me. I'm like, okay, sure, you do that. And she put her hand on me, and I don't remember the words she said, but she prayed for me. And I was very still. I remember that feeling of still. And then I said, "Well, you have a good day. You too." And she just kept walking away. And I was sitting at the alone, alone. Like I was like the castaway. Like there was no one around me. I think it was like on purpose. Like I was so closed up, arms crossed, everything. And then the morning went on, and
Can I throw in some
I'm,
context too for behind that?
yes, please.
So, friends, Dahlia was with Dave Harvey. Dave Harvey is from Bethel Church. He was one of the keynote speakers at our Behold conference and brought a team of people up. So, Dahlia was one of those people from the team. And the night before, she had a dream. And she dreamt of a woman that was, wearing certain clothes, or she dreamt of something very specific. And when she saw you, that's who she saw in the dream, and that's what prompted her to come and speak to you specifically.
And I had a hat on. I remember her talking about a flower afterwards. And I had a hat on with a flower. And I always wear hats, but one of the reasons I wear hats is I've been losing my hair due to Lyme disease. Okay. And if you notice, I'm not wearing a hat today because, by the way, my hair's growing back. That's another whole level of girliness we're talking about here. But, anyways, so it's the end of the morning. I listened to the morning worship and I did not, I can still say I did not like throw myself in. I just stood back from afar and went, "Oh, this is kind of cool and wow, people raise their hands and this is great." And everyone, they were breaking for lunch and people were calling on people to pray for them. And Dave was wrapping it up and saying, okay, we're done. And I saw Delia go over to Dave and talk to him. And all of a sudden, Dave said, could Jennifer please come up? And I kind of looked around and went, well, that's me. So I stood up and I went to the front in front of all these people I did not know. And there was a lot of people there. And I went to the front. I'm not a shy person, but they turned me around and Dave looked at me and he said, I cannot quote it, but he said, we're going to pray for you now. Now, I had not told anyone in that building I was sick. No one. Okay. The Millers barely knew. Like the Millers knew, but they hadn't told anyone. It's not like I was visibly sick. Okay. Lyme is the great imposter. So I'm standing there. Dave put his hand on me and I closed my eyes. And all of a sudden, oh, I feel this huge rush come over me, this unbelievable weight is leaving, and I feel this big yellow plastic knot thing untying, and in my eyes, I can just feel like the most weight I've ever felt. And I opened my eyes, and there was black molasses running from my fingers, my toes, my nose, my shoulders, my feet, all over. That's all I could see. I did not see any people. I saw nothing but black molasses. And I closed my eyes again, and I have seen the video, so now I am crying immensely. I don't remember the tears. I just remember this weight of just, it's leaving, like this weight was just going away. And I opened my eyes again, and there was all these people. And all these people were around me, and they're kneeling at my feet, or they were touching me, or, and I felt, I, and people stopped praying, or something happened at that point, and everything stopped. And a lady that was standing behind me, who I still don't know who it was, took her hand from me and she said, you've been so sick, you're not going to be sick anymore. And I did not tell anyone at that point how I felt. I just felt exhausted. I felt exhausted. And I had to sit down. And then everyone left for lunch. Everyone calmed down. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know how I felt. I just felt odd. And I went outside and I went to Tim Hortons and got a coffee and I just came back. But it was like mechanical. I barely remember that action. And I sat in my car and I didn't drink it. It went stone cold. I went back in. And then this time I still sat at the back, but a young boy by the name of Jeremy from Quebec sat down next to me and he said, how are you? And I said, I don't know. That was intense. And he said, well, while you were up there, a song came to me. Like, Todd, I didn't even know what the word prophecy meant. I had to Google it when I got home. So he's like, I heard a song called Cover Me. It's an old song. Okay, that's great. I'm like, well, what's going on? And we were halfway through the more afternoon session, and I wasn't saying anything. I didn't, something was off. And I looked at Jeremy and I said, I gotta go. And I stood up and I left. I walked out. I'm like, what is going on? And I walked out, and it felt like I took the deepest breath of cold air in my life when I walked outside. I didn't even talk to anyone in the lobby. Like, they're all talking to me. They're throwing out words at me. Now I know it's called prophecy. And I'm just like, I don't even know what's going on. And I walk out and I'm walking to my car in the far corner of the parking lot. And I start wiggling my fingers. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I have my wedding ring on today. I didn't wear my wedding ring for 3 years because it hurt. It hurt. I couldn't move. So I'm wiggling my fingers and I'm like, okay. And then I'm rolling my shoulders. I'm like, whew, what is going on? I got over to the CRV. I did a lunge. Then I did a squat. That's why if the security camera could see me, I'm like doing squats. I'm like, ho, ho. And I'm making noises. I'm like, what? Oh, Oh, and then I'm in the car. It's a 40-minute drive from the worship to home. And I spent 40 minutes. Thank heavens I did not get in a car accident because I did this on the steering wheel the whole ride home. I'm looking at my fingers. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? And I'm like, why my eyes? Like, because normally when it's getting darker, like my eyes are struggling. And I'm like I can hear like everything perfectly. And then I did that. And I'm like, what the? And then I'm like snapping in the car. I'm like, now I can snap. Like, so I got home and I pulled in. John wasn't home. And he comes in. I'm home about an hour. Okay. I come downstairs. I'm going to show it to you. I come downstairs and remember I told you I was in Tobermory. I was in Tobermory for 6 weeks. I sent John probably, and I had a great place overlooking Georgian Bay. I sent John probably 50 sunset pictures in that time by text. And on the Tuesday, I went to Behold on Friday. On the Tuesday, I got one sunset picture framed because it looked nice. Wanted to put it on my desk. Let me show you this. Oh, that's the picture.
Oh, can you raise it a little higher?
You see it?
Oh, put it right in front of your face. Oh, yeah. It's coming in blurry. Yeah, maybe go
Okay,
back.
so
Yeah.
it's a sunset
Oh, there it is.
picture
Yeah.
with the cross in it.
Yeah. Now, that. I recognize that. That's a for those listening and not watching on YouTube, you're looking
It's
at
a
this.
bracket
It's a bracket
on
from a
a,
glass
yeah.
deck. Yeah.
But John and I never noticed that. He's a contractor. He installs these things. He didn't even notice that. So I come home, that's sitting on my desk, and I go upstairs and we get in the hot tub, and John says, "So how was tea?" I said, "Oh, it was pretty good. It was intense." That's all I said. And he's like, "Okay." And he's like, "What's going on?" And I'm like, "Nothing. No, everything's fine." He's like, "Okay, so what's going on? 'Cause you're looking a little different here. Like, are you sick? Like, did you get sick? 'Cause I can't eat a lot of things. I couldn't eat gluten. I couldn't eat nightshades. I couldn't have sugar. So he's thinking I've eaten something or whatever." And I looked at him. I'm like, "Okay, I know you're sitting down, but you got to hear this." So John was the first one to hear my testimony because I had told no one about the black molasses. About I could then I stood up in the middle of the hot tub. And I touch my toes. And he goes, "What is going on?" I'm like, "John, what is going on? What the what? What the what is going on?" And then I get out of the hot tub and I'm showing him. I'm doing lunges. I'm like touching my fingers, my toes. And he's like, "All right. How do you feel? Like, how's like your brain?" And I'm like, "Great." He's like, "So have you taken your pain meds?" I'm like, "No. I took my pain meds. I took my medicine this morning. Haven't taken anything because I take it 3 times a day." And he's like, "Okay, what are you drinking?" I'm like, "Nothing. It's like
The
Seven
Kool-Aid.
Up. It's nothing." And he's like, "What is going on?" I'm like, "John, I don't know what's going on." So we get out of the hot tub, and I'm like jazzed, like jazzed, like I've never felt like crazy excited, but calm. I'm just like, "What?" Go to bed that night. No sleeping pills. Oh. No sleeping pills for 3 years. Sleeping pills every night. Go to bed, sleep like a rock. I'm out. Wake up the next morning and I'm like, "Okay, well, I'm going to go back." He's like, "Are you?" Well, I got out of bed and I touched my toes again and did lunges. I'm like, "Yep, because something's going on. I don't know what's going on." And I looked at my pills. And Ray and Greg have seen them since then. It was a big purse of pills because I didn't want to lay them out on my vanity. So I put them in a purse and I went, "No, not today. Let's see what happens. Let's just see what happens." And I drove back to Behold, still doing this. And I listened to the song Cover Me that Jeremy had told me to look up.
Who sings it?
Well, this is, I don't know still, but I've been listening to it. I should know. But he said it was so old. It was from 2016. That's how young he was. I was like,
Oh
"Oh my
yeah, I
goodness,
remember.
2016, man, that was old." So I walk in, I park, and I walk in and I see Ray and Greg first. I walk right up to them and I'm like, they're like, you're here. You came again. You disappeared yesterday. I'm like, yeah, I got something to tell you. Something's going on with me. And I stood there and I touched my toes. They're like, what? I'm like, I have no medicine in me. None. Zero. I think clear as a bell. So since that moment, and then that testimony at Behold was as raw can be, because I am not even 24 hours in. And it is, I spoke with Adam upstairs, and then he brought me down to see Dave, and I'm like staring at Dave like, so what's going on? Like, what is this? Like, what is going on? Like, I felt like I had swallowed the moon. It's shooting out my fingers and toes. I don't even own a Bible at that point. Melissa, Adam's wife, had given me one, because I'm like, oh, like, this is for real. Like, this is real. This is really happening. Like, why? And so I, in the morning, before I told Adam, so being in radio for many years, I am used to listening to extremely loud music. Like, I have been on stage, emceeing events. I am used to loud music. But through the Lyme, the louder the music was, the more it bothered me. I sat through the most fantastic rock concert on the morning of Behold, when they were playing, and no earplugs.
Oh, and that was loud too. That was MBL. That was loud.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah,
and
was
I'm
good.
Like, no earplugs. And I'm watching people in front of me raise their hand. This is before I had told Adam or Dave, just Ray and Greg knew. And I'm watching, this time I sat four rows from the front. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting right in there, man. Don't know what this is. And the people in front of me were raising their hands, and I was staring at their hands. And then I was staring at mine, and I was wiggling them. And then I raised them up, and I'm like, look at that. Like, I have no pain. I can do this. And that, from that moment on, everything in my life has changed habitually. I was a number one four-letter word girl. I was a phenomenal habitually. I'm not trying not to do it anymore.
Yeah, come on.
I've been to the doctors last Tuesday. I told the doctor. I went in there. He's been my doctor through all this. He has sent me to, oh, you name the specialist, I've been to see them. He's put me on the medication. He knows I couldn't eat. I went on a 20-day fast to try and rid myself of all the things. And I sat first, okay, 4 days after Behold, I went to my therapist. I don't go to therapy. I had been to therapy 2 days before Behold because my normal doctor felt I was going downhill. Like, everything was coming on me. They put more meds on me. He's like, you need to talk to someone. So for an hour and a half, 2 days before Behold, I threw my life on this doctor, this psychiatrist. And he wrote down 87. I'd put myself down 87 times in an hour and a half. And he goes, okay, here's your next appointment. And it was November 24th. So Behold was November 21st. So November 24th, I go in to see this doctor, this therapist. First, only second time, I walk in and I said, sit down, you gotta hear this. He was truly the second person that had heard my testimony, because he got it. He got the whole shebang. And then I said, what's going on? And I said, the other thing that was happening after Behold, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of that week, I was yawning for some reason. No meds, but I'm yawning. So I'm like, oh, it's a after effect of coming off the meds. And my therapist said the most beautiful thing about the yawning. He said, a fire needs oxygen. And I went, yeah,
come on.
That's right. The fire needs oxygen. And he goes, "Let your sparks fly, sister." That was all he said to me. He goes, "But I don't know who this person is, but don't let this person fade, because this person is not the same person I saw a week ago."
Come
He
on.
said, "I can give you bits and pieces, but this is a 100% physical transformation and mental transformation." So then last Tuesday, this time I'm going to see my GP. I'm going to see the doctor, like the MD who sent me to everyone. I'm like, so I go in, I sit down. He starts typing. He's like, "So Jennifer, how are the new meds working?" I said, "Well, I gotta tell you something." So he gets the whole shebang. And I said, "Doctor, give me the medical explanation." And while I was talking, he actually stopped typing for the first time ever, because he always types, because he's keeping notes while he's talking to me, right? And while I'm talking, he stops typing. He turns to me, folds his hand, and starts smiling. And I stood up and I touched my toes and I sat back down and I said, "So explain this. Give me a medical explanation." And he said, "Medical explanation is keep doing what you're doing." And I said, "Okay, so we need full blood work?" And he goes, "There's no blood work needed because there's nothing wrong." And he said, "Just so you know, I'm deleting all your prescriptions while I'm talking to you.
Wow.
This doctor is not one to not order medical tests. He is by the book. The more blood work, the better. The more testing, the better." And for him to say that, it was like, you have the moments and you have the molasses and the pain and the suffering and the leaving you. But then you sit back and you go, "Did I imagine that? No, I didn't imagine that. It was so real. It was so real." But then for the medical doctor, for me to say, "Doctor, I'm on no medicine," and him say, "That's okay. Just keep doing what you're doing." And John, my husband, had a doctor's appointment with the same doctor the next day. And at the end of the appointment, Dr. Chep said to him, "I'm so happy for Jennifer. I'm so happy. I'm so happy." And he goes, "It kept me going all day." And that's the other thing. I'm so overwhelmed with joy and peace and excitement that physically, I am showing up differently. Mentally, I was watching TV 2 nights ago and I said to John, we saw a commercial for Survivor and I said, "I could do that show. I'm signing up. I could sign up for the show." Todd, before I got ready to talk to you this morning, I lifted weights. I got gone for walks. I am so drawn to go outside now. Like I was When I said my testimony up, behold, for some reason, I said it to John the night before. John and I are going to open a Christian camp. I don't know how this is going to happen, but this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. Like, I feel so drawn to be outside now. And I sit, I don't, the boy that was part of the morning service where they were playing the loud music, you said the name, I don't know the name, MLB, I think.
MBL,
MBL,
met by love. Hey,
met by love,
met by love, Jennifer.
and he had some great things that really sunk in. He said during his testimony, he said he was addicted to the Word of God. He got addicted to it. That's how I feel right now between the Word of God and being outside, because as a Lyme disease sufferer, outside is the worst, scariest place. It is, because ticks are everywhere. And I am addicted to being outside with his word. I am addicted at looking at trees and going, "How do you do this? How, why did you come into my life? Why?" I am so in awe. I am so blessed. And it's flowing. Like, I've been to different events since this, and not church-based events, just events, just my life. And I look at grocery shopping differently. I look at the people in line differently. I feel an immense weight. Oh, a weight so bad when someone is suffering and I am near them. And then I just close my eyes. And in Catholicism, it's always you start the prayer, you end the prayer. It's very structured. I'm not starting a prayer and ending a prayer anymore. It just seems like I wake up and I'm like, morning, Jesus, how's it going? Hope you know, thanks for showing up. Thanks for showing up. Like I'm with them all day.
Come on.
It doesn't turn off. I find I'm so drawn to music again. He speaks to me in music. I haven't listened to music in a long time. And I'm sure I kept up on current charts. Being in radio, you always do. It just becomes part of your blood. But Christian music now is such a draw for me. And he speaks to me that way. He speaks to me. It's where I find peace outside and listening to him. And I went for an interview because I still am unemployed. I went for an interview last week. I don't know who showed up for the interview. She asked me a question. What is your long-term goal in this job? Todd, I don't know what showed up in me, but I answered her, to bring joy. What? Who says that? Who says that in an interview to bring? But that's what showed up, to bring joy. And that's what I feel. I just feel it. He did this to make others believe. He's giving me grace so that I can say, if you just take his hands. I was so busy. I was on that stupid hamster wheel and I was running and running and running and his hands were always there and I was too busy. I was the excuse queen. And his hands were right there. Come on off the wheel. Just come on. Remember when we were kids, and I can say that because you're my age category. Remember when we were kids and we were on those playground equipment and it was that terrible, dangerous equipment, the circle, and you would push and push and push the roundabout.
Yeah, it was fun.
And you would
then.
All jump. Yeah. But now you think it's kind pushing. Of dangerous. Yeah, and like you're on it. But if you would fall off, you'd fall. And that's how I felt I was going. I was going around and around and around. But his hands were right there. Just come on. I behold to me was my birthday. November 21st was my birthday. It's the day I showed up. It's the day I finally showed up. And I truly, truly believe he's fantastic. Like he works in such mysterious, cool ways. Like he's got such a sense of humor. Like so many things. I applying for EI for the first time in my life and my account was flagged. I had to go to the EI office. They couldn't figure out. My birthday was deleted. Wow. Seriously? Come on. My birthday was deleted. And then I get a phone call. I was reading the book of Luke that morning. I get Ray sending me Bonnie because we are doing an offshoot of Disciples City that I've been attending. Bonnie from Disciples City is holding a gathering at her place once a week. So I've been going. So I asked for Bonnie's phone number because I needed to call Bonnie and tell her what's going on. Now he's deleting my birth date. And so Ray sends me Bonnie's number. I call the number and I said, hello, is Bonnie there? No, I'm sorry. This is Luke. Oh, come on. Like, come on, man. Like, Jesus, I know you have a sense of humor, but come on. Like, for real. I'm so in awe. How blessed are we to have such a friend? If I went up to Toberhory now, I would never be alone. I was so lonely when I was up there. And I'm old, man. I'm 52. I'm not a 20-year-old.
You're young as.
Oh, I feel like I'm 10. I feel like I'm 10. I'm at this prayer group that we go to at Bonnie's. And these ladies and gentlemen, they they're so patient with me because I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, so I kind of have a few questions today, like the newbie questions. Like, so I was looking at the chickadees. Do the chickadees have to come to Jesus? And they're like looking at me. I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like, how does it work? How does it work? Because the joy I feel, I read before I came on your show today, Psalm 40. I can't believe I'm actually remembering that. I read Psalm 40. And it was everything I'm feeling. You healed me. And people are looking at you like, what went on? Like, I can't quote the psalm, but it, and I don't care. I just want to share it with people. I'm just like, really? This is real. Like, this is for real. Like, now I understand what everyone that I was watching from the outside feel when they were at Behold. It is an overwhelming sense of awe. I've watched Christian music videos now of concerts of praising, of worship, and it is the most moving thing in the world because it's so real. It's like, it's right in you. You cannot deny it. Like, it's, but Adam said a great thing. You don't have to give up who you are. Like, it's still in you. Like, you love music, okay? I love plants. I love music, but Jesus isn't telling me I have to give up that stuff. Now you just got a best friend who's on for the ride. You're on his ride with him. And
yeah.
It's so cool. It's so, I say words that I don't know if, especially the ladies that I pray with. I'm like, this is off the charts. This is top shelf. Like, this is holy smokes. Holy smokes. Like, holy smokes. Like, it's just, oh.
That's so good.
I listen. It is so good. It is so good. It's so, so good. Your broadcast, things like this is what needs to happen. People need to be able to listen to these and know that it's just you and I chatting. And this is what's happening. Like, the fire is so real. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's like this fire starter. It's just like, bam, kapow. Like, John said to me the other night, I think Jesus talks to you in cartoon bubbles. And I'm like, maybe, because I'm like, kabam, kapow. Because I can't stop moving my body. It's so exciting. Like, I brought in wood the other night because we have a wood stove. And John said, oh, do you need me to bring him wood? I said, no, I didn't. He just looked at me and goes, show off. I'm like, yeah, look at that.
So good.
It's day 21. No medication. No medication. No medication on renewal. No medication coming in. It's the real deal. And this is a very personal, it's a very personal relationship. And I understand that I was introduced at a young age, but never had a relationship. It was, I didn't listen. I didn't accept. I didn't. And heaven knows I was given lots of opportunity. And then when that time came and I became the parent that said, no, we're not going. There was no need anymore. And I shut it off. I never was there to begin with, but I completely shut it off. Like, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, there was, I believe that if I'm talking, if I'm throwing a word up, my father passed away 10 years ago. I was throwing a word up to my dad. That's the way I was talking. I'd be like, Dad, what a day. But now I realize in all that time, well, in the Bible, it says that he's my father. So maybe I was praying and I didn't really realize it. You know, if I can be so literal
yeah.
about things. In the news department and radio, you report on terrible things. I was on the desk the day of 9/11. This is the worst moment of my career in broadcasting. I've reported on drunk drivers and in automotive financing. I know it sounds funny, but there's some terrible moments. You know, credit is decimated. It's sometimes a world ruled by greed. So you do see that a great deal. It's the next biggest, shiniest thing. And I know Jesus had a plan for me through all of this, through my whole life. I look back and now I know that there was a plan. There was a reason. He knows everything we're going to do before we even do it. And he gives us choices. And I chose my choices. But how if I have one thing to say to anyone that's listening is don't, if you're even a quarter of the way in, man, jump in the pool because you got nothing to lose. If to me, why not? Why not you? Like, why not?
Yeah.
Look at, like, there's no picking and choosing. You know, you can be at the lowest of the low. You can have no friends and no money and no future. And I truly believe now that no matter how sick you are, you might not see a full recovery, but you're going to find a recovery. There's many different types of recoveries.
Yeah.
And there is the physical part. The physical is unquestionably visible, miraculous, but the mental and the anguish and the clarity and the thinking pattern is as big a miracle as the physical part.
Yeah.
Because it is in me. It is shooting through me. And I will never, ever drive past a building that says Jesus too many times again.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing your 21-day-old testimony.
21 days.
It's amazing. That's awesome. And I'll tell you too, when they, I remember when they were praying for you at the front and I walked by and it was just for you, how you said it's the people praying is weird and stuff. To me, it was just such a normal thing. And there was nothing very obvious to people around of how intense that was for you. Like it was just,
that's incredible.
Yeah. Here's just a group of people praying and it warms my heart to see that happen. But there was, you know, anyway, Jennifer, my final question for you is, what would you say to people, you know, who are inviting people to different things, Christians that, you know, that are inviting people that they would like to, for them to encounter this joy that you've now found, and they keep giving excuses and saying no? How would you encourage them to continue to invite?
You have nothing stopping you from saying yes. If the Google Meet is there, press accept, because make the time, because you have no idea his Google Meet schedule. And it would be the day that you get to meet your best friend. And he's been there all the time. Just try it. You got nothing to lose. And so much whole new world to gain, and a family and a father and the most joy you've ever had in your life. That's just go. Just say yes. Just text yes and show up. It's a miracle. He's a miracle. And I think it's time everyone just accept the meeting and go on and step off the wheel.
Because
he's great.
Thanks again, Jennifer.
Thank you.
You got nothing to lose, friends. For those of you who are listening, you've got nothing to lose. This story, 21 days fresh, and the joy. And what's interesting is how someone receives this joy and immediately wants others, strangers, people in the grocery store. Jennifer said, people in the grocery store look different to me. Because now she sees things with his eyes. And if you're on that hamster wheel, if you're on that crazy park spinny thing from back in the day, Jesus is there reaching his hand out to you. He's chasing after his sheep, and you just have to reach out and say yes, friends.